Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight they're announcing the indictment of the chairman of the Republican Party, a fundraising committee in the state of Florida. Now, I got to tell you that I'll say it again and again, we have no choice here. We got to get rid of both parties. Both parties are crooked and corrupt, and both parties do not have the best interest of the American people at heart. They're only looking out for themselves. You got to get fresh crooks. It's better to start with a novice crook who has to learn the ropes than to continue to deal with a guy that knows all the ins and outs. Get rid of them all. There's none of them any good. You've got to send a message. You've got to scare the pants off them. You got to get rid of them all. If you don't get rid of them all, let me just tell you one thing. A capsized sailboat does not reposition itself. Okay? And our ship is capsized. And if you want to let it go down, you just continue to vote the same way you've been voting. And all you people who voted for Obama, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You voted the biggest lemon in presidential history. This guy is going to go down as a national disgrace. He's going to make Jimmy Carter look like George Washington. And the more I see Jimmy Carter and remember, get all my flashbacks to gas lines. This guy got us killed. This guy got us killed to the 10th generation. And Obama is going to do worse. And I tell you something, I feel sorry for the blacks because they're going to have nothing to be proud of. And it's a shame. It's a shame. There were better men out there that we could have all voted for. Can you believe that Jimmy Carter, in his term of office, never went to Arlington Cemetery to honor fallen Americans? Is that a disgrace or what? Huh? Mr. Bible Man? You know what? What does he got, a hammer? He walks around. He should be walking around with a hammer and a sickle. Habitat for communists. Maybe it's time we did a net worth workup on all politicians, including presidents, and let's go back and follow the money. Follow the champagne contributions. You think there'd be a lot of red faces? Or pale gray? Harry Truman said, when they call the roll in Congress, they don't know whether to answer present or not guilty. I often say, you lost your country and you're not getting it back. And somebody visited me today, a guy who knows before communism, he was born B.C. He was born in America in 1939 B.C., before communism. And he shook me up. You know, one of the sorrows of being an uninformed American is that you're naive to a lot of things, and you really don't see the big picture. Now, you think about this. You see the breakneck speed by which the Obama administration has moved on the American government since they took office. Go back to when the Clintons refused to leave, took all the W's off the computers so Bush couldn't declare R, okay? And they couldn't get rid of Bill Clinton. He was still giving speeches in an airline hangar and held the plane up while he hammed up his last day, his last exit. These people stole furniture, took bribes, and they did everything, including pee on the Christmas tree. Okay? They were a total disgrace, and they were elected by a disgraceful nation. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow, because you have no tomorrow. That was their theme song as they danced once they had accomplished the mission and began the takedown of America. Those towers that went down 9 years ago and have not been resurrected, thanks to Mayor Bloomingdale, who's going to build a mosque first. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it, and a lot of people are going to be very uncomfortable, including me. But the biggest enemy of Israel are Jewish people. American Jews. They are the biggest enemy of Israel. If tomorrow Israel was going down, it's going to be Christians that save her. It isn't going to be the golden calf people who feign loyalty. 78% of the Jewish population in the United States voted for Obama. A guy just gave me a picture of Obama taking his shoes off before he's going to prayer, and he's in presidential clothes. But he couldn't go to Arlington Cemetery. You think about that. You lost your country. You're never getting it back. Hillary Clinton is a UN representative for the UN. She is not an American Secretary of State. She is the UN Secretary of State, because the communists know that they have to circumvent the Constitution because it's taken too long to destroy it. So what they're going to do is they're going to pledge allegiance to a new world order that's going to run the United States. And somebody gave me this, and I'm going to read it to you. Serious warning. They are working too fast for our slow minds and actions. While we are watching the oil spill, the failed New York terrorist bombing, and other critical crises, Hillary Clinton signed the Small Arms Treaty with the UN. And if you notice, there's a guy went crazy in Wales and gunned down 30 people. You wait until those mosques start emptying, unloading their AK-47s in England. England's going to be on the run. And all the bobbies are going to be able to do is blow whistles. Obama finds legal way around the Second Amendment and uses it. If this passes, there could be war. That's a big saying. If this passes, there could be war. And you know what people are saying today? You know the NRA has a big membership, but you want to know something? It's only half. And the other half's not joining the NRA because they don't want their name on a Gestapo list. And the NRA can't guarantee that those lists and names won't fall into the hands of Attorney General Electric Holder with the Gestapo, the new army that Obama wants to raise, bigger than the American army. And this man is not a citizen. Nobody can prove he's a citizen. He's Barry Sotoro. And he went to school in Indonesia, and his nationality is Indonesian. And his religion is Muslim. And they know it. The people that brought him to power know it. And they already have Plan B and Plan C, and we're playing catch-up with our mouths open and our pants down. On Wednesday, Obama took the first major step in the plan to ban all firearms in the United States. On Wednesday, the Obama administration took its first major step in a plan to ban all firearms in the United States. The Obama administration intends to force gun control and a complete ban on all weapons for U.S. citizens through the signing of international treaties with foreign nations. Make me president, I'll tear up every foreign nation treaty there is. By signing international treaties on gun control, the Obama administration can use the U.S. State Department, which I'd close tomorrow because it's totally useless and has been infiltrated by communists since World War II, to bypass the normal legislative process in Congress. Congress has already been bypassed. They've been replaced by czars, commie czars. Congress has nothing to do and say today. They're finished. The Congress and the Senate is the same as if they were in Baghdad and Saddam Hussein was ruling instead of Barack Hussein. Once the U.S. government signs these international treaties, All U.S. citizens will be subject to those gun laws created by foreign governments. And what was the one thing that George Washington told us? What was the best advice George Washington gave the people that he freed? Avoid foreign entanglements. One of the things I admired about Bush when he first came to office, he tore up the Kyoto Treaty. I thought that was great. And he also broke one with the Russians. And I thought that was great. These are laws that have been developed and promoted by organizations such as the UN. Close it. I'd rather see legal prostitution in that building. We already have legal prostitution in the House and the Senate. Why not at the UN? And fire them all. I'm telling you, you can't let anybody that's in office today has hurt you, whether he's a Democrat or a Republican. If he's a Democrat, he definitely tried to hurt you. If he's a Republican, he allowed it to happen. Fire them all. These are laws that have been developed and promoted by organizations such as the United Nations and individuals such as George Soros. George Soros should be stripped of his citizenship and put out in a small rowboat to sea. And Michael Bloomberg, there's a con man and a half. Deny Giuliani, okay? The guy that was left to clean up New York City, a third term to finish the job. And then he gave himself a third term. You tell me he's as crooked as George Soros. And you know what? He has no regard for the Constitution. And he's on John Gambling every Friday. And they're both wearing lipstick. Yeah, for the Besame Kulo session. The laws are designed and intended to lead to the complete ban and confiscation of all firearms. Do you know what a bloodbath that's going to be? Do you know there are people now that are glad they never registered one? You ever see the Westerns where the Apaches buried them up in the hills, and then they got to go dig them up? That's going to be us. The Obama administration is attempting to use tactics and methods of gun control that will inflict major damage on our Second Amendment before U.S. citizens even understand what has happened. Girls, I'm telling you right now, if you are patriotic, you have to go and join the NRA, under an assumed name, and get a gun course. You have to learn gun safety. You have to learn how to fire weapons. Because one day, you may be the only person left to defend this country. And they have already intimidated you. If you talk about being feminized, they have done it by making you afraid of weapons. A guy waves a gun in your face and you don't understand which end of the barrel the bullet comes out of. Do not be afraid of guns. Learn how to use them, and one day you may need it to protect your children or your dog. Obama can appear before public and tell them he does not intend to pursue any legislation in the United States that will lead to new gun control laws, while cloaked in secrecy, his Secretary of State, Hillary the Commie Clinton, is committing the U.S. to international treaties and foreign gun control laws. Now, who's behind the foreign gun control laws in the United Nations? Shouldn't we be asking that question? Does that mean Obama is telling the truth? Obama never tells the truth. Hussein means liar in Arabic. Hang in there a second. This is the president calling to threaten me. Oh, that was a heavy breather. It sounded like Chuck Schumer. I've heard that breathing before. It's a toss-up. It could be Henry Waxman, Mr. Baseball. He's been in the dugout a lot with Barney Frank. So, where'd I leave off? Okay. Okay, what it means is that there will be no publicized gun control debates in the media or votes in Congress. We will wake up one morning and find out the United States has signed a treaty that prohibits firearm and ammunition manufacturers from selling to the public. We will wake up another morning and find that the U.S. has signed a treaty that prohibits any transfer of firearm ownership. and then we will wake up yet another morning and find out that the U.S. has signed a treaty that requires U.S. citizens to deliver any firearm they own to the local government collection and destruction center or face imprisonment. This has happened in other countries, past and present. And this guy mentioned that when the Nazis took over France, that the first place they went was to the police stations to get the lists of everybody that owned a gun. And they went house to house and took all the guns away from people. And if you were supposed to have one and you didn't have one, you know the Gestapo got to question you. And you know how they do that, right? Not only that, he tells me they went into museums and took flintlocks and blunderbusts and threw them all in the river. Anything that was a firearm. And he said some of them were works of art. How's that? Well, I don't believe that. Hitler was stealing everything. Yeah, he probably has the pistol still. This is not a joke nor a false warning. As sure as government health care will be forced on us by the Obama administration through whatever means necessary, so will gun control. My friends, the first thing you have to do. You know where we are? We're at the Battle of the Bulge. And it's time to say nuts. We have to stop this Obama onslaught. And the only way you can do it, and I'm worried, I'm hearing tonight that this Supreme Court judge appointee is a radical communist, okay? And she is going to rip the Constitution to shreds. And I got to tell you something. God help the Republican who gives her a pass. God help any Republican who endorses her. I will campaign for his defeat until I die. We have to start a delay. We have to stop the communist operation before we're the ones on the table being dissected. We got to stop them in their tracks. We got to freeze them. We got to freeze them in time. We've got to stop any forward momentum of this party that controls the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and is one Supreme Court judge away from turning this country into a communist-dominated nation. And I'll tell you something. If this Kagan gets on the Supreme Court, don't be surprised if one of the two conservative judges, or four conservative judges, if there are four, meets with a Soviet-style accident. And don't be surprised. Read the article, U.S. Reverses Stance on Treaty to Regulate Arms Trade, Washington Reuters. The United States reversed policy on Wednesday and said it would back launching talks on a treaty to regulate arms sales as long as the talks operated by consensus, a stance, critics say, give every nation a veto. The decision announced in a statement released by the U.S. State Department. Beware of this State Department. It's going to get us all killed. They are the BP of government. Overturns the position of former President George W. Bush's administration, which had opposed such a treaty on the grounds that national controls were better. And we got to go back to Star Wars. We got to go back. We got to have the most superior space program in the world. We have to now leap forward 10 years. Okay, so please pass on this message, and I just did. Check it out. Watch very carefully these gun control laws. And think about this. 39 students got gunned down by one crazy in a school where they wouldn't allow the ROTC to have weapons. And they had capable people there that could have stopped him. One man with a gun could have slowed him down. Two men with guns could have stopped him. And three men with guns could definitely have finished him before he finished 39 people. So the candles in the wind moment doesn't count, because that's only 39 people. And the same people that want to take your guns away, they want to take your nuclear deterrence away too. Okay? So they're working on two levels. Disarm the people, disarm the country. And tell me you're not in the hands of communists. Tell me. Prove it to me. K. Guy won't even go to Arlington Cemetery. If he had his way, he'd probably bulldoze it. The schools at all levels are infiltrated with communists and communist teaching. The media at all levels is infiltrated by communists and communist teachings. Did you ever think you'd see the day when Israel would be betrayed like we betrayed Taiwan? You know, I remember when Kennedy and Nixon had a debate on defending Taiwan. And they even went as the crux of the debate was not even defending Taiwan. It was defending the offshore islands of Kui Moi and Matsu. When was the last time you heard anybody saying, let's defend Kui Moi and Matsu? And do you know what this communist regime is going to tell you when Red China crosses the sea and takes Taiwan? They're going to tell you that they never agreed to defend Taiwan. They only agreed to defend Formosa. You think about that. This is a double-dealing, double-talking regime. It's a junta. And the House and the Senate have no power. The czars, the commie czars, are making all the calls. All the people behind the screen that you don't see. That's who's running the country. And listen, Obama is only one communist in a long line of communists. He is not the man with the total power. It's the people behind him and are pulling his strings. If you check his sleeves, he's got strings on him. He's not the worst of the worst. You're not seeing the worst. You're not even allowed to know their names. So the best you can do right now, you're a nation on the run, and you notice your enemies are getting stronger. Turkey has just won over to Islam, radical Islam. Islam is Islam. Radical, that's like saying you've got a candied yams. Yeah, Islam is Islam, and the goal of Islam is to convert everybody to Islam, one way or another. So, you think about that. There will be some benefits when we do go Muslim. One of them will be that all the people that cause these problems will all have their heads cut off first. So at least I'll see that before I have to put on my crusader uniform and go stand and free Jerusalem. We're in trouble. Did you ever see the Christians that were driven out of Jerusalem by the Muslims? They go to the Catholic churches here in the United States. They sell carvings of olive wood from the Holy Land, crucifixes, creches, very beautiful artwork. You got to take a look at their faces. They are not happy people. They are people without a country. They are people without a homeland. Yet they tell you the Palestinians in Gaza are the only ones. You got to see the Maronite Christians from Lebanon. Look in their faces. Look in their eyes. They won't tell you. Look at the Coptic Christians from Egypt. Look in their faces. Look in their eyes. There's a piece of their heart that's missing. Their soul is intact, but there's a piece of their heart that's missing. They were driven out of their own land. And many of them are sided with the Prophet Muhammad in his rise to power. And this is how they were compensated. Especially, you talk to a Coptic Christian from Egypt. Ask him what it's like to be a Christian. I saw one episode where a father, a Coptic Christian father, whose daughter was a betrothed to a Coptic Christian man, was kidnapped by a Muslim and taken into his quarter of the city and raped. And when the father just went to the police station to get his daughter back, all he wanted was his daughter back. He didn't care about justice. He just wanted his daughter back. And the cops laughed at him. How would you like to live like that? You don't think it can happen? Never can happen. Happens all the time. Many a Jew went to the train station thinking he was going to bring his suitcase on the cattle car. Everybody always hopes for the best. But when you have people out there that intend to kill you, the odds of you surviving are little or none. How about little African boys being nailed to chairs because they haven't got time to make a crucifix? Little African Christian boys being nailed to chairs by Muslims. You don't think that happens? How about girls coming from a school in Indonesia? Little girls being stoned to death. You don't think that doesn't happen? All is not fair in love and war. Islam is a warrior's religion, and the goal of the warriors of Islam is to convert everybody to Islam. They will not give you a choice. They won't say, well, we'll tolerate you because you're a Buddhist. No. No. They may allow you to pay a tax so they don't cut your head off right away. They make a buck first. And never forget that the Imam of the mosque gets 20% of all booty taken in conquest. It's in the Holy Quran. There's a lot of things in the Holy Quran. You ever hear the one about the Jew behind the tree? You got to get that quotation. That's a good quotation. Even the trees will give up the Jews. How's that? And here we got the liberal Jews in the United States that have no love for Israel. They beat their chests like Jesus says, they lengthen their phylacteries. But when it comes time, when it comes to showtime, they're not going to do anything. They will blame Israel for fighting back. Israel's in trouble. How many Israelis are there? They say there are less Jews in Israel than there are in New York City. And you got a billion Muslims, including the Turks now, who can't wait to get their hands on them. And they will tear them limb from limb, like Nancy Pelosi does to little babies, by legislation. Nancy Pelosi, the latest interpreter of the Bible. Yeah. And the Word. She's telling everybody about the Word. You know what the Word is? The Word is, Nancy, I do like the shepherds do. Get the flock out of here. Never forget, Osama bin Laden couldn't have said it better. All American taxpayers are Jews. So if you got a 1099 this year, mazel tov. And if you're an Irishman with a big nose and big ears, like many of us are, we're going to die as Jews. And you know why God gave us big noses and big ears? So we could hear the Muslims coming. And the Brits, and the Russians, and soon the Chinese. Our greatest ally in the American Revolution was France. And we stood by while they chopped all the heads off of the people that helped us the most. If it wasn't for the French Navy and the French troops at Yorktown, we would have had a tougher time winning the American Revolution. We must never forget that. Sadly, the French did forget it, and they executed all the wrong people. But that's France. C'est la vie, c'est la guerre. If they had given Marie Antoinette a nice piece of Danish, the world would be a better place today. Did you see John DeMonkey having a meltdown over Obama, making fun of him? Did you see him with the clips and then commenting after each clip? Did you see how outraged he was? He almost lost it. He was like 2 degrees away from steam heat. Unbelievable. How the gleeful have fallen. The gloaters. Oh, how the gloaters have fallen. Their hero, my man, my main man, his main squeeze has disappointed him. But I think John is upset over the fact that he sold out Israel. But don't worry about it, John. Not to worry. You'll never have to go to defend Israel. You could just go and tell a few jokes at the cemetery. You know what? I think we're going to a period of what is it when you realize that you've been hoodwinked, and you still can't admit it, but you're freaking out because your inner mind is telling you've just been snookered. Look at that guy that looks like Mr. Clean with the Southern accent. Hang in a second. That was
By his
the
remorse.
worst newspaper boy in history. He throws the paper somewhere around the bottom of the stairs, and when he comes to get paid, he steps over it and climbs up to the top of the stairs and knocks on the door. He won't even bend down, pick up the paper, and bring it to you one day a week. Unbelievable. Drives a limo. Okay, what were we talking about? Let me go back and review. We were talking about what's his name? The Raging Cajun. James Carville. How could I forget that? It's my grandma's maiden name. And he's, we're dying down here. You come down here and bring some sand. Oh, man. When it was Katrina. Katrina was the biggest farce. Liberals are crybabies. They absolutely cry. They're the ones that are responsible for bully laws in kindergarten. You know, I mean, they have nothing better to do. They have too much time on their hands. All they do is pass little laws and little amendments, and before you know it, you don't have a country anymore. The judges will all look like men in iron masks. And speaking of judges, we got too many communist judges, and that's been going on for 40 years. We got to get a better way to appoint judges because the ones we got are selling us out every day. There's a handful of judges, and they're afraid to stand up. They're like Republicans. I can't stand up right now and defend my country because I could be down in the polls tomorrow. Yeah, and then who's going to bring me envelopes? If the President of the United States, President Pinocchio Pants, the man without a country, if he can be passed off as Mr. Patriotism, you know we don't have a Pope's chance in hell to save this nation. If this guy can make 137 million as an international president, making friends in Kazakhstan. He's never been an ambassador, but he had a hook. He has a hook so big you wouldn't believe. And he hooked the president of Kazakhstan and convinced him to sell uranium to his Goomba in Canada. This guy has no friends in the United States, no money-making friends. He's an internationalist. Tomorrow he'll be a pancake. He'll be an IHOP can. He'll be doing IHOP commercials. Hi, I'm the President of the United States, Bill Clinton. You remember me? I used to. I'm still fighting those messy Philly upper lawsuits. Yes, I was. I do the Cialis commercial with Hillary. We're both in separate bathtubs. Did you know that when this guy was ostracizing the oral office. Do you know he was having sex with Monica Lewinsky and talking to the Chinese ambassador at the same time? Oh, Mr. Clinton! Yeah, how are you today? Oh, yeah, you sound very busy. Yeah, oh, you speak in Chinese? Ooh, I eat. Oh man, are we in trouble? Oh, why not elect some Hollywood actors for president? Why don't we do that? And the only good one was Ronald Reagan. That's because he really believed he was a cowboy. Maybe we need another cowboy. Bush, come back! Come back, Bush! Sadly, George isn't the answer. My cowboy doesn't ride a horse. He rides a bicycle and he falls off it. He has a little bicycle helmet. Oh God. We buying the sizzle and we're not getting the steak. We are screwed, a blued and tattooed. The worst one is Chuck Schumer is suing Exxon because he wants to subject them to a windfall profits tax. And now that the oil companies are not doing as good and their filthy lucre is not accumulating as rapidly as it once was, Chuck Schumer has reversed his goal. He now wants a windfall loss tax, and he's going to start with BP. He tried to seize their assets. He reached out for $10 billion the other day. He just threw it out there to see how the polls would react. And you know what my polls say? My polls are Stasha and Wanda, and they're the only ones I trust. They say Chuck Schumer's got to go. And you know why Chuck Schumer is still in office? And while we're looking at Blagojevich selling seats, while we're looking at this Admiral Sestak, who was bribed by his own party, and now Romanoff has come out and said he's been bribed by his own party, why don't we look into the reason that the state of Ohio, the Democratic Party in the state of Ohio, pulled the card of a senatorial candidate who happened to be an Iraq war vet under the orders of Chuck Schumer. And I just heard, what's his name from Pennsylvania, the former governor of Pennsylvania, saying that they had a candidate that wanted to run and Chuck Schumer pulled his card. So Chuck Schumer is picking candidates for other states. How can that be legal? Has anybody checking Chuck Schumer's sources of income lately? Is he getting a nursing home shortchanged employee money? Is he the one that harassed the Philippine employees in a Long Island nursing home for one of his contributors and threatened them with transfers to places they could not get to? Huh? And loss of job? How do they do that? Did they also threaten him with deportation? Isn't it time we looked into the shenanigans of Schumer? I'm sure he's dirty. He's got to be dirty. They're all dirty. Look anywhere. Turn a rock over, there's a thousand legger. My friends, you lost your country. I'm telling you, you'll be richer tomorrow if you get rid of whoever's in office today. I don't care what party he's from. Get rid of him. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Otherwise, you're going to consign yourself to a life of misery, military surprises, and more taxes. These people cannot take a hint. So you got to shove them out the door. You got to give them the old Arab saying, Il beb efawit jamal. The door is big enough for a camel to pass through. Or as we say in America, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Do a little skip when you pass the fulcrum. If you go to my website, Spirit of America Party Radio Show .com, I show you all 14 chapters of my book, the highlights of each chapter. And one of the chapters is has a picture that's missing. I didn't load it right, and it was two Polish dancers, and it says the only Poles I trust are Stasia and Wanda. So I was looking to duplicate that photo, and I was looking for Polish dancing photos on the internet, and I came across a Polish dancing group. I think they were from Long Island, and when you open up their website, the first thing you see is an American flag and then a Polish flag. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm watching these demonstrators before they were told to wave American flags only, when they first came on the scene and they were waving Mexican flags only. And I said, I never see a Mexican flag and an American flag together. And maybe we could learn something from the Poles. I know we could learn religion from them, because they got a pope elected that was a saint. And they're very religious people, as are the Filipinos, even though I hear they fool around a lot. But we're all human, aren't we? Yes. Like even Jimmy Carter lusted in his heart. President Pinocchio pants, so he lusted all over town. Yeah. You know what? I think he did that to avoid the draft. Yeah, the only draft that he avoided was the open window. All right, no, let me not get started. Well, let's go back to. I'm going to play you a song. This is dedicated to all draft dodgers. Yeah, all pot smoking, STD transferring draft dodgers. Never forget when these communists talk about taking down big oil, big business, but they want a bigger government. Never forget we're a big country and we need big oil and we need big business. We need more big business to be more American. That's what we need. We need more big oil to be more American. That's what we need. But we're a big country and we have a big appetite. You heard the oil statistics, right? We use, what did it say, 69% of all the oil consumed, we do it. Hey, we're a big country, we got a big appetite. We like bigness. More Viagra? Or do you just want another cup of tea? That fella that visited me today, he came back to see me and brought me some paperwork. and I thought I would just share it with you. I went out on the internet and I did a joke on Obama's birth certificate. I had a picture of an Iranian dollar bill with the Ayatollah Khomeini on it and Obama's picture next to him. And it said, official certificate, certificate, of life, life, birth, B-E-R-F. And then I went on to elaborate his birth. It took place on Tuesday. And it was signed by the Attorney General from the state of Connecticut, who is a Vietnam War hero. So this gentleman brought me this, and I thought I'd share it with you. I have never seen any proof of Obama's citizenship, and neither have you, and neither has Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. So, and don't believe that story that it was brought to O'Reilly by the Prophet Muhammad in a dream. Well, here it is. Of course, one has to remember that everything you read on the internet is the truth. But I've never seen this before. And it says, Lolo Sotoro, Stanley Ann Dunham Sotoro, baby Maya Sotoro, and 9-year-old Barry Sotoro. And it says, this registration document made available on January the 24th, 2000, by the Franciscus Assisi School in Jakarta, Indonesia, shows the registration of Barack Obama under the name Barry Sotoro, made by his stepfather, Lolo Sotoro. Name, Barry Sotoro, S-O-E-T-O-R-O. Religion, Islam. Nationality, Indonesian. How did this little Indonesian Muslim child, Barry Sotoro, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama, get around the issue of nationality to become president of the USA? Part 2. In a move certain to fuel a debate over Obama's qualifications for the presidency, the group, Americans for Freedom of Information, has released copies of President Obama's college transcripts from Occidental College. Now, this is more evidence of proof of birth and citizenship than I've seen from the other side whatsoever. The transcript indicates that Obama, under the name Barry Sotoro, received financial aid as a foreign student from Indonesia while an undergraduate at the school. The transcript was released by Occidental College in compliance with a court order in a suit brought by the group in the Superior Court of California. How they ever got California to give up that info, I'll never know. The transcript shows that Obama Sotoro applied for financial aid and was awarded a fellowship for foreign students from the Fulbright Foundation Scholarship Fund. To me, the Fulbright Foundation Scholarship Fund, every time I hear somebody say he's a Fulbright scholar, I say, oh, somebody that can hurt the USA. To qualify for this scholarship, a student must claim foreign citizenship. You know, this guy that recently got caught, he was an American citizen, and he was the guy that was going to blow up Times Square, and he got college money by saying he was a Yemeni. Even though he had American citizenship papers, proof of, naturalization, he applied for money under a Yemeni passport. So why should somebody like that be allowed to be here? They'll never serve in the military unless his name is Major Hassan and he gets promoted by the communists. Yeah, under the Affirmative Action for Terrorists program. This document provides the smoking gun that many of Obama's detractors have been seeking. They're not detractors. They're people that want the truth. Tell us the truth. We want to know who you really are. What flag do you really fly? when the sun goes down. That he is not a natural-born citizen of the United States, necessary to be president of these United States. I'm going to tell you right now, the people that brought him to power know this. If this is true, they were aware of it. They have plan B, C, and D, and it's going to be a get used to it. It's more part of the communist conditioning process until one day you wake up and you no longer have a country. Gary Creep of the United States Justice Foundation has released the results of their investigation of Obama's campaign spending. This study estimates that Obama has spent upwards of $950,000 in campaign funds in the past year, with 11 law firms in 12 states for legal resources. Why aren't those firms listed? Don't you want to know who the enemy is? When they say a judge made a ruling, don't you want to know that judge and his background or her background? They say. I don't like the words they say. I want names, places, addresses, family pictures. So, to block disclosure of any of his personal records. And Mr. Creep indicated that the investigation is still ongoing, but that the final report will be provided to, guess who they're going to give the report to? The U.S. Attorney General Electric Holder. And Mr. Holder has refused to comment on this matter. Are we in trouble? Are we in trouble? You have no idea how much trouble you're in. You won't know until they put the chain around your collar. The chain collar around your neck. Then you'll know. Hey, what happened here? What's going on? See, this Van der Sloot, the Dutch murderer, has struck again, huh? And I understand from the news tonight that he's been captured. Now, I got to tell you, because Aruba covered up this murder and dragged their feet on the prosecution of this dirtbag, the two guys who were accomplices that were released and now are back on the hook, and they have to be dragged back in. And I guarantee you, when you drag them back in, and they get a proper cross-examination, they're going to give up Van der Sloot now. And they'll tell you what happened to that girl. And they know what happened to that girl. So, finally, I always say God leaves a witness. And ain't that the truth? So, and you know who doggedly pursued this and was still pursuing is Greta Van Susteren. She was the only one that really stuck it out. You know, when it lost the attention of the public and it wasn't popular, Greta was still on the sidelines continuing her pursuit of this murderer. And And thank God he's been caught. Thank God he's been caught before. And the question tonight is, how many other girls has he murdered in 5 years that we don't know about? Isn't that sweet? Unbelievable. Good work, Greta. Here's a song. I'm dedicating it to politicians. And there's a lesson to be learned here.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard. And mostly what I need from you. I can always find someone to say they sympathize if I wear my heart out on my sleeve. But I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to be.
A bit that a letter from George Patton, and in the letter to his men, he mentions the fact that twice in his lifetime, America has come from behind to overcome sneak attacks or to overcome a disabling attack that could have resulted in our demise. And he says in his letter that he doubts if we can do it a third time. And he attributes that to the fact that the arsenal of democracy, okay, with the onslaught of fast planes and missiles, may not be able to recover. And yet, we've got a policy in this country that we have to take the first hit. We have to lose the first life before we can retaliate. And that's got to change. So, as you listen to the words of Patton, just remember what he's warning about. And today, we don't have the arsenal of democracy we once had. That's thanks to Jimmy Carter and all the other people that have tied the hands of America, including Lyndon Johnson. Okay. When you start to put restrictions on fighting men, you limit your ability to win. And there are people in this country, the threat is not from Al-Qaeda. That's not the greatest threat. The threat is from the people who are sitting in Washington on judicial benches, who are sitting in the Pentagon. That is the biggest threat to the survival of America. You got to purge all the communists and all the internationalists and all the world club fools. Hi, boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington: in time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict, fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 BC had signed such statements. Since 2600 BC had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie, "Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn?" There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker, and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 9-1-1, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls.
Tonight, Mike Savage played a Beatles tune in honor of the honor that was paid to Paul McCartney by President Hussein. And I wonder what President Hussein is going to do on D-Day. Is he going to go to Omaha Beach and get down on his knees and take his shoes off? Is he going to pray before 6,000 crosses and ask God's blessing on him and his posterity? Yeah, you think about that. Wait till you see how he spits in America's face. They're joking on Dennis Miller that he's liable to send back the Statue of Liberty to France. He already sent the bust of Churchill back to England. How's that? I wonder what they're going to take Washington's picture down in the White House and put up Spike Lee. Oh, speaking of Lee, I was watching the Mexican-American War, and one of the heroes was Robert E. Lee, who was an engineer, and he helped ensure the military success of the American Army. God bless Robert E. Lee for his service to his country. I had a guy in one day, and he told me that he had to get college credits in order to qualify for a job. So he had to go back to school and get college credits. And he was appalled by the fact that one of the courses he had to take, the teacher wore a Chairman Mao hat and a Che Guevara t-shirt. And he had to listen to his communist diatribe so that he could get a passing grade. And he said, you know what? When the revolution comes, I'm going back to the school and getting that guy first. Yeah, how's that, huh? And that's what's in the back of... what? Who knows what patriotism lies in the minds of men? Used to be what evil in the shadow knows. But now, we're in the shadows. We've been driven from our land. Everybody has denied us our LLP. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I heard O'Reilly debating, telling somebody, there's no guarantee for the pursuit of happiness. Oh, yes, there is. It's the Second Amendment. Yeah. Cheer up, O'Reilly. Hang in there. It's time to go patriotic. And remember D-Day. D-Day is not a celebration of sacrifice. So treat it with respect. And here's a message to all those communist Kent State college communists. And all these little demonstrators going around smoking weed and getting dirty at Woodcrap. You don't know what America does best. And do you know what that is? Revolution. When you see Americans in a revolution, you will get an awakening like you never got in your lifetime. We wrote the book on revolution. Nobody does it better than us. Slow to anger and slow to calm down. 25% of the Americans in this country defeated the British in the only successful revolution in history. The Russians had a revolution. It's finished. Gone by the wayside. They're coming back, but it's a new type of revolution. It's a KGB revolution. The Chinese had a revolution. Soon the people will be demanding better wages. And the communists will have to kill a few million to keep them in line. The French had a revolution and they killed all the wrong people. The Irish had a revolution and it took them 500 years to get 26 counties. They're still 6 counties short. We wrote the book on revolution. Nobody does it better than us. And you better never forget that, because one day when you turn our laws against us, we're going to come and hang you. And we don't need no fancy legislation. All we need is a good horse, 5 feet of rope, and a tree. And one slap solves the problem. Of course, it'll be democratic. And the vote will be unanimous. So be careful who you betray. Because one day, you may not get your way. Or get away.